Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Well, today we're off to New York City in the past, of course, for a police procedural. It is called Broadway's My Beat, and this one won awards by the police forces around the United States, and I think New York itself, for being very realistic and to the point, I guess, getting across what it was to be a policeman at that particular point in time. Anyway, Broadway's My Beat. So we're going to listen to Anna and Johnny Lynn. That's coming up first, and then we'll have a game show to top it off, something called Double or Nothing. But that's 30 minutes from now. Right now, Anna and Johnny Lynn on Broadway is My Beat.
Broadway's My Beat, from Times Square to Columbus Circle, the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world.
Broadway's My Beat, transcribed with Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover.
In the high noon blaze of July, Broadway walks soft. Broadway walks slow. The dream walk, the careful walk, rhythm to a regret for things that have not yet been. Because other summers have flowed in this street and other winds, and in their ebbing, the erratic gutter dance of the litter of the season, the snapshot of the July bathing beauty torn in half, then torn again and once more. The phone number written in lipstick on a barroom napkin, crushed, thrown against an alley wall, because it was a number that rang shrill on emptiness. No answer was the code for last summer. But this time it'll be different. So walk into it, but soft. And in the East 60s, in the apartment where I was, where Detective Mugovan was, July sun, filtered and cooled by linen draperies, cut summer flowers floating in crystal vessels, sun dancing on the backs of tropical fish drifting in glass cages. The other thing, the man huddled in death, shot. Murdered.
The man doesn't, strictly speaking, belong here, Danny.
Oh?
As near as I can make out, the apartment is owned by a Johnny and Anna Lynn. A couple of letters addressed to them that way on the desk. Snapshot album in the bedroom got engraved on its cover, The Life of Johnny and Anna Lynn. A nice-looking couple. Real nice. A matchbook's got Johnny and Anna printed on them. Good-looking couple. Both of them. The man and the woman.
Where'd you find on him?
The usual stuff things a well-dressed man in his profession would carry. Gold cigarette case, gold money clip with money. A wallet, alligator, gold tip...
Off the dime, Mugovan.
Oh, yeah. His driver's license, identification card, business cards, all of them say he's... wait a minute. Stacy Parker, jeweler to the discriminating, 617 Madison Avenue.
Those liquor stains on the sofa and rug.
Bourbon. That's how some people live. Bourbon highs at noon, a booze brunch. It's a way to live. A way to entertain.
Whoever it was must have stood close to him.
It happens like that sometimes. Nice place, huh, Danny?
Yeah.
Owned and run by a nice-looking couple who just don't happen to be around. Drink and kill, then maybe go take a walk to where it's shady and cool.
The way you figure, huh, Mugovan?
Happens like that sometimes. Okay, if I put the call into the boys now.
Yeah, I'll do that, Mugovan. For an instant after that, somehow, time reversed itself in the mind's eye. Look about the room, the beautifully furnished room, the room warmed by sun and the oddments of love. Books... A sonata opened on the piano rack, and on the mantelpiece, a stone figure worn smooth by the touch of hands. And consider that before this day, it was a room for living. Yesterday, Mr. John Lynn and wife Anna sat here and talked here and had a life here. Then from outside, the intruding sounds, and suddenly the room becomes other things. An overturned glass, whiskey spilled on a rug, and violence and death. Murder done at high noon. Get with it. Leave there. Take the swift and noiseless elevator ride downstairs. Main lobby. The desk. Show a badge. Ask for the manager. Be directed to an office near the main door. Go there.
Please come in.
Sit down, please.
Thanks.
Police?
That's right.
Your name, please?
Danny Clover.
Indeed. Mine's Burton. M. Norton Burton.
Yeah, I know. It's on the door. It's on your desk, and there you are.
Yes. Yes, indeed. You know, of course, this is not our first murder. In 46, Mr. Goodenough did away with Mrs. Goodenough up in 516, strangled her with a bedsheet. Also a triangle slaying. Your department worked
fast on... You think the murder upstairs is a result of the triangle?
I'd have no way of knowing, but on the face of it, if you want my opinion...
No, we don't. Not if you have no way of knowing.
I see. What can I do for you, Mr. Clover?
The man who is dead upstairs, he...
I saw him.
You saw him come in?
Indeed not. I stuck my head in the door while your people were milling about. Then I came down here and waited for you. You came.
Do you know who the man was?
No.
Well, tell me something about Mr. and Mrs. Lynn.
They're out. I was standing in the lobby about an hour ago. They walked out, arms about each other, as usual.
What do you mean?
I don't appreciate lovemaking in public places. Mr. and Mrs. Lynn always walk through my lobby, arms about each other. That's lovemaking in public places.
What else can you tell me about them?
They paid their rent, which ended our responsibility one to the other. I know nothing else about them, except their exhibitionism in my lobby, which might be something, you know, which might be I'm not too far off when I suggest triangle to you. A man murdered in the apartment of a married couple? What does it suggest to you, sweetness in life?
I'll let you know, Mr. Burton. Thanks a lot.
And leave there and ride the humid July streets and at intervals pause briefly for the traffic-bewildered conquerors from out of town and for pavement stickball games and for the sandaled girl who walks lazily across the squad car's path, drains the stoplight down to its last drop of scarlet. It's summer in the city. And the pulse is slow, and in the places of waiting, they'll wait. And at headquarters, finally, and fill out the report on violence and death. Issue the all-points bulletin for the pickup of Johnny and Anna Lynn. Then back uptown to Madison Avenue to a jeweler's shop for the discriminating, to glass cases lined with somber velvet, glinting with the precious stones that sleep under lock and key, that can be kissed awake by the caress of money. And the man in striped pants and the dark silk jacket, proper attire for a handler of jewels.
It goes to show.
What, Mr. Miller? Show what?
How a man can leave his place of business, walk to someplace else in the noonday sun, and fall down exhausted from a bullet. That's what.
That's how Mr. Parker's death impresses you?
Mr. Parker was my boss. He said from clerk I could maybe work up to apprentice jeweler, and then master, then partners maybe. It was very impressive how he laid it out to me. This is the impression I get from his getting killed. Now?
What?
Now I can never live up to those nice things he laid out for me. A whole new career of nothing is open to me. That's what.
Tell me about your boss, Mr. Miller.
You want an obituary from me for my late lamented employer? I haven't had experience.
Now just tell me about him.
Nice fellow. Nice reputation in the trade. Handled himself real nice with both sellers and buyers. Sometimes a derelict one is in here, Mr. Clover. In a piece of newspaper, he's got a jewel that would make you cry. Mr. Parker would buy from him real nice, then sell at four times the price. But nice.
Was he married? Did he have a family?
No, and no. This was his family, in these cases. What's locked in the vault in the back room. Sometimes, after a real good day, he'd blow me to a martini, then walk away before I finished. This was his family.
He was here this morning?
He's got the only key to the shop. He was here. I can prove it to you. I got in.
Then, after a little while, he went out.
Just how it was.
To call on Mr. and Mrs. Lynn.
Just how it was. Except he laughed and passed a remark when he told me where he was going. But you wouldn't know about that.
Why was he calling on the Lynns?
With the Lynns, my boss enjoyed the role of bill collector, personally. They ran up a bill, he went to collect, personally.
And the remark he made before he left, what was it?
You know, I forget. Mr. Parker was all the time passing remarks, right over my head. Maybe I should have jotted them down, then I wouldn't forget.
Well, maybe it'll come to you, Mr. Miller, real soon, like next time we talk.
Maybe. I gotta close up now, Mr. Clover. I gotta go order a sign that says closed, account of death. It's the custom among merchants on the avenue. Bye, Mr. Clover.
Danny?
Come on in, Gino.
As good as done. I want to explain to you why I came in late this morning, Danny.
That's okay, Gino. I didn't even know anything about it.
It was my morning for Marshall.
What?
Marshall. Marshall Renbaum, the boy who lives across the street. This morning he left for the Catskills for 2 weeks summer camp. Every year, Mr. and Mrs. Renbaum send him to me for a talking to before he goes to summer boys' camp on how to conduct himself.
Oh, what did you tell him?
What I told him last year. If he gets jacks back-to-back, he should wait till the second time around before he raises. Things like that. You know, Danny, boys' camp law.
Gino.
Last year, Marshall stayed 3 weeks from what my advice did for him during the first two.
Gino, do you have anything for me?
Medical examiner's report, Danny. The deceased, Mr. Stacy Parker, died instantly from a bullet wound of .32 caliber which pierced the temporal lobe, thereby proving, without a shadow of a doubt, that the holder of the gun was standing sideways to the deceased. Also, paraffin tests revealed that the said shot was fired from up close and...
Pardon me a minute, Jim.
Goes without saying.
Danny Clover speaking.
Mugovan, Danny. Just got a call from Officer Kendall from a call box on 110th Street. Think she's located Mr. and Mrs. Lynn.
Where?
East River Drive, Danny, in a parked car. Kent will be waiting for you at the corner of the drive and 111th.
Right.
That car right across the street, sir.
How long have they been parked, officer?
Over an hour. I walked over to tell them there was restricted parking. Saw who they were. Called in without disturbing them. You'll see why.
Yeah.
Try not to drink anymore, baby. I've had enough, and you know when I've had enough.
Quit telling me you didn't mean
Mr.
it.
Mr. Lynn?
You the police?
That's right.
You must be looking for us. My wife shot a man to death.
Yes. Yes, I did.
Listening to Broadway's My Beat, written by Morton Fine and David Friedkin, and starring Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover.
When it's July, the heat that puffs down on Broadway causes minor miracles along its way. The natives festoon themselves with washable prints depicting surfboard riders, old Mount Fujiyama, and proverbs of the day. And you can tell the boys from the girls by the drape of the shirt tail, whether it's knotted in front or it just hangs there. And the season is vintage for the pineapple juice. The mail heavy with postcards from Camp Joy Joy on the Hudson, saltwater taffy from Atlantic City, and genuine pine needles from the Catskills. And those that send them, deserters. Don't mind them. Put on your Hawaiian shirt and Broadway's all yours. And at headquarters, the new July day, interrogation room and the buzz of the electric fan and murder suspect and husband, Mr. and Mrs. Johnny Lynn.
It wasn't so bad, was it, dear?
What?
I mean, spending the night in jail, it wasn't so bad. I mean, I didn't mind it.
It was terrible. I woke up in the middle of the night. I woke up sober, and I didn't know where I was. I screamed. The matron told me where I was. And I remembered.
Everything?
Yes.
Your husband means about Stacy Parker, Mrs. Lynn. You remember shooting him?
Johnny?
Yes, dear?
Why are they holding you?
I guess we didn't make a lot of sense last night, Anna, the way we were drinking. Did we make a lot of sense, Mr. Clover?
Your wife was saying she shot Stacy Parker. You were saying she didn't mean it.
I guess I didn't.
You feel better this morning, Mrs. Lynn?
Well, I'm frightened, that's all. What I did, what's happening now?
Just tell him the way it happened.
Yes.
Well, go on, Mrs. Lynn.
Mr. Parker came over to the apartment in the morning.
Why did he come to your place?
To collect a bill. He's a jeweler. I bought a watch from him.
Why didn't he just bill you?
How do I know why? The doorbell rang. I answered it. There he was. He said he'd come to collect his bill. I told him to come in.
And we started to drink. Don't forget that, Johnny.
And we started to drink.
Pretty early in the day, wasn't it?
What time do you start to drink, Clover?
Why did you kill Stacy Parker, Mrs. Lynn?
Mr. Parker stayed. Johnny went into the shower. Mr. Parker told me I looked attractive in the morning.
And he went after her. Anna said she screamed, but I didn't hear her on account of the showers being on.
So you shot him?
Yes. Yes, I did.
You going to show me how it happened after what she's just been through? You're tired, baby.
Frightened. I don't want to talk anymore.
We're going to have to hold both of you.
I don't care. I don't care what you do. I'm not going to talk anymore.
Danny Clover speaking.
Mugovan, Danny. I'm in the Lynn apartment. Can you come up?
What for?
Been nosing around, found some things. Things maybe you ought to see. You coming?
Right away.
Yeah, take a look in this carved chest, Danny. It was locked, draped with a shawl. I got it open.
Mm-hmm.
All these ladies' handbags. A stack of boxes. They got ladies' hose in them. All that stuff just thrown in, then locked up, covered with a shawl. Now, what do you figure this lady's handbag is worth, Danny?
Well, I wouldn't know.
It's French. Here, see?
Yeah?
Made in France. Never used. The lace was made by hand.
Beautiful.
My wife stood in front of a shop window once and explained a bag like this to me. Then she caught her breath, stopped explaining. I wonder what it's worth. That whole slew in there, just as pretty.
What else did you find?
Hey, wait a minute. I want to show you something. This box of ladies' hose. You ever see it more sheer than
no,
that?
No, I asked you what else.
Oh, yeah, you did. Over here, Danny, linen closet. I got to show you. Yeah, just I'll lift this stuff out so you can see back in the shelf.
Perfumes, imported, rare. Delicate bottles.
Yeah, my wife keeps stuff like that on her dresser in the bedroom where she can see it. Two bottles toilet water, one for evening, when she gets an evening.
You can put the linens back now, Muggy.
Maybe it's the latest fad, huh, Danny? Stash the exotic perfumes in the linen closet so the sheets will smell nice. Fad, huh?
Is there anything else?
Oh, yeah, in Mrs. Lynn's bedroom. Right in here. On the nightstand next to her bed. This jewel box. All this jewelry, all snarled up, knotted. Real pretty stuff. Some expensive, some not. There's a hat box on the top shelf of the closet filled with more stuff like this. And a pillowcase stuffed with little art objects hidden behind the refrigerator in the kitchen. Want to see?
Never mind.
That's right, never mind. We've seen it all before, huh, Danny?
Yeah. Yes?
Mr. Lynn?
Who is this?
Fred Wright of the Wright Department Stores. Hello again, Mr. Lynn.
Hello?
The usual thing, Mr. Lynn. Our monthly chat. It's overdue.
Chat?
Someone's listening, huh? The missus? Make your monthly excuse to the pretty Mrs. Lynn and come down, huh? Right away, Mr. Lynn? Thank you, right away.
Keep looking, Muggerman, then check me at headquarters.
You boys are tricky, aren't you?
Why did you call Mr. Lynn? Why did you insist on seeing him?
On account of about this time each month, he pays my department store a little visit. I called up to remind him.
Trying to play it cagey, Mr. Wright?
You get the drift.
I'm going to tell you something, Mr. Wright. I was at the Lynn apartment when you called, this you know. What you don't know is that I saw enough loot in that place to stock
it. Then you figured it, huh?
Well, I just want proof that I'm correct.
Oh, sure. Sure, you're a real correct fellow. Mrs. Anna is a high-class thief. Real psychological stuff. Kleptomaniac. We've got maybe a dozen of them visit us regularly.
And Mrs. Lynn only visits your more expensive departments.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, high class.
And the reason you called her husband, tell me about that.
It's an arrangement. He drops in sometime during the first week or so of every month. I give him a list of what wifey has heisted. He pays me, sits right where you're sitting, writes me a check without a whimper. Clean, no bargaining, no cops, nothing. Just a check. I don't mind. Why should I mind? Nobody gets hurt.
Back to headquarters then, in the office. And through the walls, the echoes of a day's violence droned on teletype and typewriter. And from the open window, the murmuring of the summer city, and the beat of July sun against steel and stone and pavement. And a gull that glides a swift curve, catches light on its wing, vanishes. Sit at the desk, listen, watch, and try to piece together the elements that have separately, then in joined climax, contrived the death of a jeweler, Stacy Parker, and a confession to his murder from a woman whose hunger for beauty made her steal and lock away and hide the things of beauty. A woman whose husband paid for her secret thefts, and who was gentle with her, and who was angry at the abrupt questions put to a confessed murderer. Try, and welcome the interruption.
Got things for you, Danny.
Hey, you look hot, Mugovan. Take off your coat. Relax.
Yeah, I'll do that. Hustle around the way I did, Danny, your shirt gets clammy. Nothing you can do about it. Hey, what do you know? A cool breeze.
You been places?
Yeah. To a bank, mostly.
Oh?
I'll look around the Lynn apartment some more, Danny, the way you told me. And what I found, it sent me hustling to a bank.
What'd you find?
Oh, in my coat pocket. Wait a minute, I'll show you. These checks. Some canceled, one not. They were in the desk. Oh, before you look at them, Danny, tell me something.
All right. Can't think of a thing.
Oh, all that loot we found in the Lynn apartment. Hey, what do you figure it comes to? In round figures. Come on, tell me.
I don't know. But you do, don't you, Michael?
$10,000. I hacked the stuff down to the boys in technical. They gave me a quick appraisal. $10,000, they figure. Even with the jewels. Now, look at the check on top made out to Stacy Parker. The uncanceled one. And signed Johnny Lynn.
Hmm. $60,000.
Tidy sum, huh?
You found it, then you hustled to the bank.
Yeah, I talked to a Mr. Lebo there. He knew all about it. This kind of money impresses even bank tellers.
Mugovan, I know you're hot. You've been through a lot.
I'm coming to it, Danny. Give me a chance to breathe, huh? Now, this Stacy Parker brought this check into cash. The teller asked him to wait a minute because there wasn't that kind of money in Lynn's checking account.
But it's not canceled. What happened?
Well, it goes like this, Danny. The teller called Lynn, asked what to do about the check Mr. Parker just brought in. Lynn said, let me talk to Mr. Parker. He did. Parker and Lynn talked for a few minutes, then Parker hung up.
All right, and what else?
That's all. Parker thanked the teller, took the check. Left, without cashing it.
Wait a minute. This check...
I wondered when you'd notice. You're right. It's been raised. From $6,000 to $60,000.
You did real fine, Mugovan. Thanks a lot. In here, Mr. Lynn.
Oh, wait a minute.
Why?
When am I getting out of this place? I've got to get outside. I've got to arrange about my wife's defense.
In here. Well, sit down. Gino.
She's out here, Danny.
Send her in. Let's cool it off in here. Well, sit down, Mrs. Lynn. How do you feel?
Johnny.
You look fine, baby.
It's awful. Everything's so ugly. Look at me. Look at the way I look.
It'll be all right, baby.
You're going to have to get used to it, Mrs. Lynn. Penitentiary is even worse.
I can't stand it, Johnny.
Baby.
I told you, Johnny, I can't stand it.
Yeah, it's hard for a woman like you. A woman who likes pretty things.
All women like pretty things.
All women don't steal them.
All right, she killed a man. You don't have to get cute about it.
He knows about me, Johnny.
You got a wife, Clover?
No.
You don't know anything.
How long have you been covering up for her?
What do you mean?
Covering up for her, paying for what she's stolen.
Tell him what the doctor said, Johnny.
He wouldn't understand.
Kleptomaniac's no rarity to the police, Mr. Lynn. We know about their compulsion to steal, the reasons for it.
Okay, so you know. You know about her and you know about me. Now a thing's happened, a terrible thing. My wife's killed a man. I've got to get out of here and do something about it.
Johnny.
I said it'll be all right.
Mrs. Lynn.
What?
I saw the things you stole. Beautiful things, exquisite things, expensive, soft, gold, sheer. You hid them away. Why?
Ashamed, so ashamed.
But you like it. You like it.
Yes, I do. When I'm alone, I take them out and I touch them. And from these things, I don't know, it's a feeling. The things you buy me, Johnny, I never get that feeling from them.
It's all over now. All the pretty things.
for a long time.
Johnny.
I told you.
Johnny.
Listen to me, Anna.
Johnny, you got me drunk. Before that man, before Mr. Parker came to the apartment yesterday, you got me drunk. But you know what? I wasn't drunk, Johnny.
Sure, sure.
All the time, even when this man found us in the car, I wasn't drunk. Johnny, honey, I can't stand this place.
Listen, baby, it's going to be all right.
Tell him, Johnny.
I know about the check, Mr. Lynn. I know how it was raised and why it was raised. Blackmail. Stacy Parker raised that check from $6,000 to $60,000. He tried to cash it, couldn't. Came to you.
I'm sorry, Johnny. You know, I tell you, I'm sorry. I can't help it. I see something pretty, I gotta have it. The doctor told you why. I don't understand why.
My wife. My beautiful wife. My thieving wife.
Look. Look, honey. I knew what you were doing all the while. When you shot that man, told me I did it. It was all right. I wanted to make it up to you some way. Because of what I've done to you. Because I'm what you say, a thief. And what you've gone through for me. But I can't stand it. I can't stay in this place. It's ugly. It makes me ugly. I can't stand it.
She can't stand it. That's my wife, and she can't stand it. What do you think I've stood all these years? What do you think's been happening to me? You think I'm a... Okay, Clover, I'm your boy. Night turns into Broadway, and it's a corner torn out of a jagged dream, the stuff of nightmare. The million colors, and the mob, and Blair that ebbs, screams again, and the faces darting, wavering, and lost forever. It's Broadway, the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world. Broadway. My beat.
Broadway's My Beat stars Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover, with Charles Calvert as Tartaglia and Jack Crucian as Mugovan. The program is transcribed and directed by Elliot Lewis, with musical score composed and conducted by Alexander Courage. In tonight's story, Mary Jane Croft was heard as Anna Lynn, and High Everback as Johnny Lynn. Featured in the cast were Byron Kane, Edgar Barrier, and Bob Bruce. Bill Anders speaking.
To the strains of I'll Take Manhattan, we conclude Broadway Is My Beat. Well, it's time now for some comedy and a little game show, both wrapped up together. This is called Double or Nothing. Don't have a date on this one, but it should be fun.
Keep tuned to this station for Double or Nothing, which follows immediately.
It's the largest selling ready-cooked spaghetti in the USA.
F.A. Franco-American. F.A. Franco-American. F.A. Franco-American.
It's got that extra good sauce.
Taste it. Tomatoes and cheese sauce so richly mingled you get full flavor every forkful. Get Franco-American spaghetti.
Good. Good. That's what Campbell's soups are. Good.
From Hollywood, Campbell's soups present Double or Nothing, starring Walter O'Keefe. Listen to radio's original good show. Hear the grand slam finish. The red and white sweepstakes in a full half hour of laughs and question marks, Double or Nothing. Tomorrow's the big day. Yes, tomorrow's the opening day of the fall's biggest grocery event, Campbell's Tomato Soup Week. And listen, Campbell's tomato soup is the same low price as a year ago. Yes, it's the soup most folks like best, and the price is as low as a year ago. Remember, tomorrow marks the start of Campbell's Tomato Soup Week, so size up your needs for weeks ahead and plan to buy a dozen cans, maybe a case,
of the new pack Campbell's Tomato Soup during your grocery's Campbell's Tomato Soup Week. Here now is Double or Nothing and Campbell's Soup's man of the half hour, your paymaster of ceremonies, Walter O'Keefe. Okay, O'Keefe.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for such a riotous salute, and I want to congratulate Murray. He left his glasses home today, and he did all right. You were very fine. Now, according to a newspaper dispatch in the Hollywood Citizen News, I was just reading, Franklin M. Kremmel, director of the Northwestern University Traffic Institute, has announced that women are safer drivers than men. Ah, dear, you don't always have to look in the comics to get a laugh, do you? I must admit one thing. Women are more resourceful as drivers. Take that new Studebaker of ours. You know the kind. You don't know whether it's going forwards or backwards. You know? Well, Mrs. O'Keefe has found out how to drive it sideways. Of course, she only does that at night because she's so considerate. She doesn't want her headlights glaring in somebody's eyes. The lady who started all this about safety driving and women being better is Mrs. Russell Pfeiffer of Wilmette, Illinois, a member of the National Safety Council's club, who are known as the Wonder Wives. That's an organization of women who have driven more than 10,000 miles safely. You know, on the road, I seem to meet the other kind of wonder wives, you know? You know the type. You're driving along behind them, and every second you're wondering what they're going to do next, you know? The Safety Council was planning to present a cup to the woman with the best driver's record, but unfortunately, the man scheduled to make the award couldn't show up. On his way to the festivities, he was knocked down by a woman driver. Now, it's time we got on with our game here, which we know is Double or Nothing. And I want to explain to our first contestant, Miss Anna Miles. Right, Anna? Okay, Anna. I want to explain how we play this, dear. We have a $2 question, a $4 question, a $6 question, and a $10 question, you know? Any money you win on those, you can take away. Sit down, take it. Then if you want to play Double or Nothing, you can go for a $20 question, you know? And you want to go on top of that, you can go Double or Nothing for $40. We also have a Grand Slam question, and that makes you $80 if you win, and we have the sweepstakes. Now, are we all clear for the game, Anna?
Right.
Let's square off. Anna, you tell me you're a waitress, right?
Right.
What did you do before that, Anna?
Well, I was in the Navy.
You were in the Navy?
I was a Navy nurse.
You were a Navy nurse. Where were you a Navy nurse?
Well, I was in Corregidor, 19 months.
You were captured?
Yes, I was. I was in Jap prison camp.
You were in a Jap prison camp for how long, Anna?
Well, I was there the whole 19 months, and the first 3 months we were in, we weren't bothered.
Mm-hmm.
But then after that, brother, we were certainly bothered.
Gee, I'd rather see you win here today than anybody else up here, I swear.
I'd like to win.
You're not married?
No.
Where's your family from? Where's your dad from?
Well, my dad is from Northern Michigan. He's
what
a casket
do?
Maker.
A casket maker?
Right. He was waiting for me.
Oh, Anna, tell me, have you had any unusual experiences in your work as a waitress?
Oh, there's several.
For instance, anything that we could do with a daytime audience? You know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
All right, what?
One is, yesterday I ran into... I'd hate to embarrass the man that's in the audience.
Yeah.
But he asked me a very question that I didn't know how to answer, but anyway, I had him.
Yeah.
He asked me, he said his friend went to the doctor and he's very sick.
Yeah.
He says, I didn't know what to do, and says, I don't know what to tell him. Do you?
Mm-hmm.
So, right away, I says, yes, maybe I can. I don't know.
Yeah.
I said, what the trouble was? He says, well, he can't go out nights. He can't eat.
Uh-huh.
Can't do nothing.
Poor guy.
And he said, they had to send his wife away on a vacation. He said, so what do you think we should do with it? Well, me, I didn't know what to answer there. So I said, well, I don't know. What's your suggestion? He said, well, I think he should get a good-looking girl like you and take her home and just have a big screwing party. I
well,
said, what?
Now,
I said, why not go down to the hardware
and
get a screw?
Anna, why don't we go on with the... questions we have here for Campbell's soup. What is your favorite kind of Campbell's soup? What is your favorite kind
vegetable.
Of Campbell's soup?
Vegetable.
Vegetable. All right. Put Anna down for vegetable soup. What category would you like to take?
Number 6.
Number 6. Well, number 6, first of all, we give you a chance at the Grand Slam question. How many piano tuners do you think there are in the United States?
Ooh.
How many piano tuners?
Piano tuners?
How many piano tuners in the United States? Yes.
Oh, about 8,000.
8,000. And you have chosen a category having to do with husbands and wives.
Right.
Here's a list of celebrities by their married names. All you have to do is give me the professional name of the star. Campbell Soup $2 question, Mrs. Phil Harris. What's her name?
Alice Faye.
All right. The Campbell Soup $4 question, Mrs. Harry James.
Betty Grable.
Right. The Campbell Soup $6 question, Mrs. Desi Arnaz.
I'm afraid I don't know that one.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Lucille Ball. Thanks for coming up, and we're sending you a gift case of Campbell Soup. Thank you. Now, here beside me is Murray Wagner, beside himself with good news. Go ahead, Murray.
You said it, Walter, for tomorrow's the big day, the opening day of Campbell's Tomato Soup Week. Mother, here's your big opportunity to stock up on Campbell's Tomato Soup at the same low price as a year ago. Your grocer's been planning this big marketing event for some time. It's well worth a trip to his store. Remember, Campbell's Tomato Soup is the best-liked soup in the world, so you'll want to get plenty. Here's the mellow goodness of sun-ripened tomatoes blended with golden table butter and gentle seasoning. Mmm, good. Remember, too, the price is as low as a year ago. So take stock of your needs for months ahead, then stock up plentifully on Campbell's Tomato Soup. Get Dad to go along with the car and bring home a case or two of Campbell's Tomato Soup. Now's the time to lay in an ample supply during Campbell's Tomato Soup Week.
It's Campbell's Tomato Soup Week, Campbell's Tomato Soup Week. The price is as low as a year ago on the favorite soup of them all.
Well, congratulations, boys. That was beautifully done. Our next contestant is John Douglas, right?
Thank you.
Where do you live, John?
Why, I moved.
Wait a minute, I don't understand. You moved, what do you mean?
Well, you see, I'm out of Sawtell.
Out at the Veterans Hospital?
Veterans Hospital out there, and
I see.
I'm on a furlough.
Oh, I see. You had me there for a minute, John. You moved. I mean,
yeah.
What did you do, John, before you went in the... How long you been out there?
Well, I've been out there now for pretty much 7 years.
7 years, huh? What did you do before you were out there, John?
Well, I was in the advertising business.
The advertising business here or in the East?
In the East.
Uh-huh.
New York.
You married, John?
Oh, yes.
How long have you been married?
26 years.
26 years?
Mm-hmm.
What was that whistle for, John? I didn't get that.
26.
Oh, I see. All right. John, what is your hobby?
Why, I used to do a lot of things, but now, since I've been out of the hospital, I've been taking up painting. And arts and things like that.
You see that wonderful article in Life this week on Picasso?
Oh, yes.
Very fine. Do you like Picasso or Matisse or Van Gogh?
The very best.
Yeah. I'm an Esquire man myself.
Oh.
Now, John, here we're going to give you a very important question first. What is your favorite kind of Campbell's soup?
You're asking me? I've been in the hospital for 7 years.
Oh, I
see. They don't make soups that I don't like.
Who doesn't make them?
Campbell's.
Thank you very much, John. And here is a chance for you to win $80 on the Grand Slam question. Oh, this is a beauty, I think. How many piano tuners do you think there are in the United States?
Oh, about 18,000.
18,000? I wonder how many untuned pianos there are. That'd be another idea. Yeah. Try that someday.
18,000?
18,000 for Jack Douglas. What category would you like to talk on, Jack?
I'd like to try that number 11.
Number 11? Number 11, Mr. Douglas, has to do with family names, brothers and sisters. You've seen or heard about all these families. I'll give you the first names of the brothers or sisters. You are to give me the family name. This is a tough one. Here's a Campbell Soup $2 question. Who are Bing, Bobby, Bob, Larry, and L. Everett?
Crosby.
Sure. You're smart, aren't you?
Yeah.
All right, now, Jack. Here is the Campbell Soup $4 question. Who are Groucho, Chico, and Harpo?
The Marx Brothers.
Yeah, don't you... Oh, I wish they'd do some more pictures together, the three boys. Remember those pictures where Harpo would run through the picture, always changed, chasing a blonde? And you remember he never said a word? He was winded, that was all. Now, here comes the Campbell Soup $6 question. I hope you got the right answer to this. Who are Patty, Maxine, and Laverne?
The Andrew sisters.
They're not flavors of soups yet. Granted, they work for Campbell's Soup. They're on ahead of that wonderful program that's delivered from New York by Edward C. Murrow.
Oh, that's...
And if Edward C. Murrow ever delivered a line like that, he'd lose his job. Wasn't that awful the way I said that? All right, here is the Campbell's Soup $10 question. Who are Franklin, James, and Elliot?
Couldn't be the Roosevelts.
Roosevelt. Yes, it could.
Oh,
it could be. Don't talk me out of it here. You got a chance to make some money. I might figure out a family I knew named Schwarzenkopf that had Franklin, James, and Elliot. All right, now here's the... Do you want to go double or nothing, Jack?
I'll try, dear.
The Campbell Soup double or nothing question for $20. Who are Marie, Annette, Emily, Cecile, and Yvonne?
The Dion quintuplets.
The Dion quintuplets. Gee, they get harder as they get up here. What is it, quintuplets or quintuplets, Emily? She's the authority on everything, and she doesn't know. All right. We come to the Campbell Soup $40 question. Do you want to go double or nothing?
I'll try.
For $40. All right, Campbell Soup $40 question. Who are Charlotte, Emily, and Anne?
Ronnie sisters.
You've won $40.
You.
Congratulations, John. Thank you for coming up. Please stand by for the red light. And, John, we are sending out to the Sawtell Hospital, whatever address you give us, a case of Campbell's gift soup. Now we have Mrs. Marjorie Grainer.
Grainer.
Mrs. Grainer is from... Oh, yes, you're from Pasadena, Mrs. Grainer. And you are the chief telephone operator?
That's correct.
Well, if I ever get jammed up on the phone sometime, Marjorie, can I ask you personally, or will they say... I have been disconnected or something like that.
Well, you'll probably get disconnected in the procedure, but I'll get you eventually. I always do.
You'll get me eventually? You always get me eventually, Mom?
I always get all the people that are cut off.
All the people that are cut off. Do you ever listen in on conversations, Marjorie?
No, that's against the federal communications.
It is. I'm so glad, because my boy Michael is only 12, and he goes to high school over there, and he said to me the other day, he says, "Hey, Dad," he says, "can I call up a pal? Can I use the phone?" I says, "Yes, go ahead, Michael." The next thing I heard was, "Hello, Virginia?" I'd have loved to have listened in on the other end of that. What, you're a Mrs. You're married, huh?
That's right.
What does your husband do, Mrs. Rainer?
He works for the American Totalizator Company.
Totalizator?
Yes, that's
it. You mean out at the track?
Yes.
Gee whiz. What an exciting job that must be, watching the odds go up and down. Does he bet much?
He's the one that makes the odds go up and down.
He's the one that makes them go up and down. Could I meet him, Mrs. Rainer?
You do that. You come out and I'll have that arranged.
I'd love to meet him someday, just before the race starts. I don't want to meet him till then. Now, Mrs. Rainer, we're going to ask you a few questions here. First of all, what's your favorite kind of Campbell soup?
Chicken.
Chicken. All right, put Mrs. Rainer down for chicken soup. And what category would you like to talk on?
Has six been exhausted?
I don't know. Is six exhausted? Do we know anybody by the name of six who isn't exhausted? First of all, here's $80 riding on a Grand Slam question, Mrs. Rainer. How many piano tuners do you think there are in the United States?
9,421.
Oh! You've been listening in the windows, huh? 9,421. Get that accurately, girls, you know. Now, you have a category, let's see. We have category on husbands and wives, list of celebrities by their married names. You know, I was reading where the Duke and Duchess are not going to the wedding in England.
I saw that.
I will never forget the day that the Duke delivered his wonderful speech. You know, the Woman I Love speech?
Yes,
and I was
in my
apartment in New York. I remember how dramatic that was. And a friend of mine named Izzy Ellenson was sitting there. And he got up and he says, "That fellow was a real gentleman. He gave up his seat for a lady, you know." Well, anyway, here's Campbell Soup's $2 question. Campbell Soup's $2 question, Mrs. Grainer. Mrs. George Montgomery, what's her professional name? Mrs. George Montgomery. She is a singer on the radio.
Jenny Sims.
Ah, I'm sorry, Mrs. Grainer, a friend from Pasadena, and you missed. I'm heartbroken. It was Dinah Shore. But you haven't lost entirely. Will you please stand by for the Red and White Sweepstakes? Thank you. And we are sending you and your husband, Mrs. Grainer, a gift case of Campbell's Chicken Soup, which you like so much. Now, our next contestant will tackle our next question in just a moment.
This concludes the first half of Double or Nothing, brought to you by Campbell's Tomato Soup.
They're back and they're better than ever before. Campbell's Pork and Beans. So pass up your plate and pass up for more. Campbell's Pork and Beans. Back again better than ever today. Livelier, racier flavor today. Eat them and then you'll eat them again. Campbell's Pork and Beans.
Now the second half of Double or Nothing, brought to you by Campbell's Pork and Beans. Listen for the Grand Slam finish in the Red and White Sweepstakes. And here's our paymaster of ceremonies, Walden O'Keefe. Okay, O'Keefe.
It's a case of hands across the sea, and it's one world in the presence of the lady who comes now, Mrs. Julie Sherwin from London, England, who is visiting her daughter here. And Mrs. Sherwin, we're glad to have you here. I hope you're enjoying things.
Thank you very much.
How long have you been here?
Exactly a fortnight.
A fortnight? Oh, yes. Jolly, 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 a fortnight. You know, I used to go punting on the Thames when I was a kid.
Yes.
It's a beautiful life there in the valley.
I lived in Richmond myself.
In Richmond yourself?
Yes,
have you ever gone to the Henley Regatta?
Yes, I did.
Yes, well,
nice.
Tell me this. You have a daughter. Did she marry one of our boys?
Not a GI, no.
Oh, he's not a GI?
No, he's a Dutchman.
He's a Dutchman?
Yes.
Well,
he's from Amsterdam.
He's from Amsterdam.
Yes.
Is he in the jewelry business?
Yes, diamonds.
Oh, diamonds. Hey, that's wonderful. Now, hey, isn't that so tough about Princess Margaret Rose? She's got the measles. Did you read that this morning?
Yes, I heard this morning. Yes.
She whiz. I mean, at her age, too, the measles.
Why? She's a big girl now.
She's a big girl, yes. But, I mean, royalty. The idea of the germs coming into Buckingham Palace. Gee whiz. It makes me start worrying about Margaret Truman. I don't know what's going to happen. Now, your husband is a glass button manufacturer?
Yes.
That's for dresses and things like that. How did you happen to meet your husband?
Well, I was in the park with a girlfriend of mine, and I was pretending to play tennis. I had a tennis racket in my hand.
Did you have a net and a court?
Yes.
Oh?
No balls.
What?
No balls.
No ball. But you were pretending to play?
I was pretending to play tennis, and my husband was, at least the husband now, he was had a camera, and he took my photo without film. He hadn't any film in the camera.
You were both phonies. Well, that's the life. That proves that each of you had a wonderful sense of humor.
A very good start.
A very good start. And how long ago was that?
That is 28 years.
Oh, bless him. I wish I could meet him. Well, Mrs. Sherwin.
Nice,
I'll bet he's a very nice chap. Now, let's see if we can win you some money here. First of all, you've already won a gift carton of Campbell's Pork and Beans. And where would you like that
I'm very glad about that because we only get very few tins in England.
You get very few tins.
And when we do, We make a rush for them because they're under the counter.
I see.
Yes?
Under the counter?
Under the counter.
Well, would you like these sent to England?
I would very much. All very right. much indeed, because it would be a treat for
we'll English send
people.
You a gift carton
Thank
of
you.
The Campbell tin.
Yes, please. And especially chicken.
Especially
chicken.
Chicken, pork, and beans.
Yes.
Well, we'll fix it up. And here we have an $80 Grand Slam question. In 1931... Babe Diedrichsen broke the world's record for throwing a baseball. She's one of our women athletes.
Yes.
How far, in fact, do you think she threw it?
Well, at a guess, because we don't play baseball in England.
I know it. The first game I ever saw was at Chelsea Oval. No kidding. 1913, I saw there was an exhibition tour.
Oh,
two
yes,
American teams
yes.
played there. What would you guess?
Well, I should say 260. Would I be...
Well, that'd be fine. You
well,
go on
260.
I'm delighted. And, you know, speaking on the subject of sports... I don't know whether you're going to do this tomorrow, but I'm going over to the Coliseum. You know, tomorrow night here, the
yes,
Coliseum.
Yes, no, I haven't.
Well, they're going to have
this
the...
This is my very first experience.
It is. Well, they're
this
going to have the relays, and you know, we have a fellow named Mel Patton. We're very proud of him. He's going to be there to try to break his new world record for the 100-yard dash. He said it last week.
Yes,
and
yes.
he'll probably go on to the Olympics in London this year.
Oh,
are you
going
to
yes,
be back there?
Definitely. Yes.
Well, now, let's see what category you're going to have here.
Spelling I would like, please.
Spelling you would like.
Yes.
All right. Spelling is... two words, I think, that mean practically the same thing. That's it. It's one of those things, Mrs.
Yes.
Sherwin. The Campbell Soup $2 question. Spell L-O-N-E when it means... I beg your pardon. No. Loan, I should have said.
L-O-A-N?
No, I made the mistake. It's my fault.
Oh.
I'll give you another one. Spell load when it means burden. When it means a mineral deposit that fills a pitcher in a country rock is different. But
well,
spell load when it means
load,
a burden.
L-O-A-D, when it's a heavy burden.
A burden.
Burden
I saw one of my neighbors come home the other night with a terrific burden, you know.
Yes.
All right, the Campbell Soup $4 question. Spell bore when it means a person who wearies you with dullness.
B-O-R-E.
Good. The Campbell Soup $6 question. Spell beach when it means the shore of the sea.
B-E-A-C-H.
The Campbell Soup $10 question. Spell faint when it means inclined to swoon.
Our way is F-A-I-N-T.
Your way is good enough
yes.
for us. Your way is my way. I'm delighted. You've won $10. Do you want to go double or nothing?
I should like to.
Double or nothing, I want to warn you. If you make a mistake, say that's the way they spell it in England. You'll get away with it. All right. Spell the word for $20, slight, S-L-I-G-H-T, when it means scanty or meager. You've won $20. Look, I'm awfully sorry, but now I'll have to take you up to the Campbell Soup $40 question. Spell cereal, when it means breakfast food.
C-E-R-E-A-L.
You have won $40. To point out that seeing is believing, Lou.
Yes, sir, seeing is believing. Those red and white labeled cans in your grocer's pork and bean section are Campbell's pork and beans. They're back, and a mighty welcome sight for folks who've been wondering when they'd see them again. Remember how good Campbell's pork and beans used to taste? Well, they're better than ever today. That's right, Campbell's have made them that way, even better than ever. The tomato sauce is livelier, richer, tangy with the flavor of red ripe tomatoes, pointed up by racy spices and seasonings. The sauce is cooked right into every plump, flavorful bean, too. Then they're topped off with a slice of lean bacon pork. Yes, seeing is believing, but just wait till you taste Campbell's pork and beans today. You'll say you never tasted finer pork and beans. Next time you go to the grocer's, remember, they're back and they're better than ever before. Campbell's pork and beans.
Now, from Minneapolis, Minnesota, we have Mr. James Curry, who is a bartender and a salesman. Does it say of tire inflators, James?
Yeah.
What are tire inflators?
Well, they're long tubes that take the air from one tire to the other and place it so it'll equalize the air and you can go get to a station without having to get out and change a tire and pump it up yourself.
I see. Well, our business.
Not so good.
It's not so good?
No.
Well, then maybe you can win some money here, James.
I hope
you win some money. Now, first of all, you have already won a gift carton of Campbell's pork and beans. And here is the Grand Slam question. You might win $80 with the correct answer here. In 1931, Babe Diedrichsen broke the world's record for throwing a baseball. How far in feet do you think she threw it?
I'd say about 325.
325. Thank you, Mr. Curry. Now, what category do you want?
Well, fingers.
Fingers? All right, fingers. Let's see. A variety of questions. These questions are all about fingers. Let's see how many you can answer. How many fingers are there on a hand? That's what it says. Yes. What do you say, sir?
10.
On a hand?
Eight.
On a hand.
Oh, on four.
I don't know many. Four? I'm terribly sorry. Yes, it's four with the thumb makes five. But that eight had me worried there. Now, let's see. We're going to come to the Campbell's $4 question. On what finger is an engagement ring worn?
On which finger do you wear an engagement ring? Are you married, sir?
I am, sir.
All right, then what finger did you slip it on, Mr. Curry?
This one.
That's right. Now we come to the Campbell Soup $6 question. An efficient person is said to have information about his or her particular job where? At what?
Fingertips.
Fingertips, good. The Campbell Soup $10 question. This is a question for fellows of our age and weight. Small cakes, sponge-like in texture, are called what fingers?
Lady fingers.
Yes, you and I. Double or nothing?
Yes.
Double or nothing for $20, sir. Campbell Soup's question is this. What was found in this manner, and my fingers wandered over the noisy keys?
The ivory keys.
The noisy keys arrived. Right. Seated one day at the organ. What is that? What's that song? You know?
Yeah, that's the last chorus.
Good boy. You won $20 there. Now, do you want to go double or nothing?
Yes, sir.
For $40. In what eastern state are the Finger Lakes? In what eastern state do we have the Finger Lakes? Do you know, sir?
Connecticut.
No, I'm sorry. It's New York. Gee, Jim, York. I'm sorry you lost. Stand by. Maybe you'll win in the red and white sweep. From Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, we have Mrs. Max Garber. And you're related to Jan Garber?
Yes, my husband's brother.
Your husband's brother. Well, yes. Mrs. Garber, give him my love when you see him down there at the Biltmore.
Well.
He's doing a great business. Yes. Now, your husband is a police officer at Warner Brothers?
Yes.
Aren't you lucky not to be in Philadelphia with the conventions coming
yes,
up?
Yes, I'm very happy about it.
It'd be kind of tough. And do I understand that this is your 40th wedding anniversary?
It surely is.
You should be enshrined in a statue right in the middle of Hollywood here. Mrs. Garber, let's see if we can win you some money for your anniversary now. First of all, you've already won a gift carton of Campbell's Pork and Beans. And here's a Grand Slam question. In 1931, Babe Diedrichson broke the world's record for throwing a baseball. How far in feet do you think she threw it?
I'll say 175.
175. And what category do you want, Mrs. Garber?
Arms.
We just had fingers. We might have had arms. This form of the word arm is used in question or answers in this category. The Campbell Soup $2 question. Weapons of defense and offense are called what?
Arms.
Right. This is especially true of romance. Arms are used for defense and offense. The Campbell Soup $4 question. What day do we observe on November 11th?
Armistice Day.
Right. The Campbell Soup $6 question. A place for the assembly of soldiers is called what?
An armory.
Good. You've won $6 and you come to the $10 question. Who, in a famous soliloquy, wondered whether it was nobler to take arms against the sea of trouble and by opposing end them? The opening line of the soliloquy is to be or not to be. This is the question. Who said that?
Hamlet.
That's it. You win $10. You want to go double or nothing?
Yeah.
Double or nothing for $20. Campbell Soup tells you this. One of George Bernard Shaw's plays is entitled Arms and the Man. I beg your pardon. You've won $40. I'll give you an alternate question. It was my mistake. A romantic figure is often described as a what in shining armor?
A knight.
Good. That wins you $20. Now, double or nothing for $40. With what division of the armed forces do you associate G.I. Joes?
With the infantry.
All right, you've won $40 for the army. Now, today's Grand Slam question was this. In 1931, Babe Diedrichson broke the world's record for throwing a baseball. How far in feet do you think she threw it? Our source is Encyclopedia of Sports. The answer is 296 feet. And James Curry from Minneapolis wins with an estimate of today, we have $532 in the red and white sweet steaks. I'll be back with a question in a moment, but first, Lou Crosby.
Back when folks could pick and choose their pork and beans from a full range of different brands, Campbell's Pork and Beans were the largest selling brand in America. Today, they're back, and you're going to like Campbell's Pork and Beans even better. Campbell's have made them that way, better than ever. Munchy, tender beans, lean bacon pork, and a tomato sauce that's richer, livelier tasting. That's Campbell's Pork and Beans today. The beans you like best.
All right, everybody, you've got 30 seconds, and the first one up with the answer wins. Here's the question. Who was the first Englishman to complete a voyage around the world?
Campbell's bring you the red and white sweet day. Campbell's paying off again. Take a try at the red and white sweet day. Think about it, rack your brain. Come on and join this money-making caper. If you know the answer, write it on your paper. Walter. Hey, Walter! Have we got a winner today? Today. Have we got a winner today?
No, we do not have a winner today. The $532 question was this. Who was the first Englishman to complete a voyage around the world? The answer, Sir Francis Drake. The $532 will be added to tomorrow's Red and White Sweepstakes. This is Walter O'Keefe saying so long. Listen to tomorrow, same time. And remember, you'll be grateful for a plate full of Campbell's Pork and Beans.
They're back and they're better than ever before. Campbell's Pork and Beans. So pass up your plate and then pass it for more. Campbell's Pork and Beans. Back again better than ever today. Lively, racy, and flavor today. Eat them and then you'll eat them again. Campbell's Pork and Beans.
Everyone, this is brought to you by Campbell's Soups and Campbell's Pork and Beans.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.